are falling into place. Series spotlights the important work of and fosters collaboration between not-for-profit organizations and our communities, allowing us all to fall into place. Falling into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress. Caring Together is an organization dedicated to providing support, education, and advocacy for women with ovarian cancer and to support research efforts aimed at finding an early detection test and a cure. They are best known for their monthly support group and yearly ovarian cancer run in Albany's Washington Park. We are going to talk about all of that with Kelly Quist-DeMars, who is a survivor, an administrative assistant to the board of Caring Together, and we welcome her to Falling Into Place this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
How long has Caring Together been around?
It's been around a little over 20 years now. We started out very small, just as a support group, and it's grown throughout the year to support our other efforts.
Talk to me about what it's like to start off as a support group and then become a bit of an advocate and working on real issues and trying to move things to try to get some sort of action.
Well, it's very challenging. I haven't been involved for 20 years, but I know the early founders were very dedicated to the cause, many of which have passed. So one of the problems of being an advocate in this area is the sickness, the disease is very real, and sometimes that causes difficulties in moving forward in advocacy. But it's very challenging, very rewarding. The support group every month gives us that basis and that foundation to push forward for more advocacy. We hear the stories and how it affects people, and it really drives us in our mission.
That makes sense, of course. When you look at your story and how it got you involved, give us a sense of how important that was to have those other people to talk to and to have them listen to you and to hear from them as well.
Well, ovarian cancer only affects one in every 72 women, so it's very easy to feel like you're the only one who has it. And so the support group in itself helps you feel less alone. We are able to share common stories, common symptoms. We all pretty much have the same doctor, so we're able to talk through that as well. And so that's a main part. And as you start to hear everybody else's stories, you hear these similarities and think, wow, more people need to know about this. If they could just know these symptoms, they could find their cancer earlier and we could end up with more survivors. And so that really helps us push forward.
So you're a survivor.
Hey.
And is that a defined, definite term enough for you?
No, I don't know that it is. I'm very fortunate that I was diagnosed in stage 1C, so my survival rates are much higher than stage 3 or stage 4, which is where it's typically diagnosed. There's arguments as to whether ovarian cancer can be cured. So while I go forward being a survivor saying that I'm cured, many people just go forth with no evidence of disease, and they live their life under that umbrella. So it's not just enough to be a survivor. You have to really bring the message out and keep pushing for more research and more funding.
One of the things that I learned many years ago in this issue of ovarian cancer is that the number of young women that it strikes is really quite shocking.
It is. I think it's commonly misperception is that it's an older woman's disease, but we really are seeing more and more young survivors. The youngest girl in the world to have ovarian cancer was 6 years old.
Jeez.
Wow. Which is, you know, very rare, but it's certainly out there. And so we feel that the younger we can help people get diagnosed, the longer they can live, the better chances of survival.
I want to talk about the run and what you're up to, but I do, before we get to that, I know part of the effort here is to find an early detection test.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we in that?
Well, we're working on it, and we're not that close to it. There's some schools of thought that, you know, early detection might be the way to go. Others are just the school thought that maybe there is no way for test to find it, but that we should be focusing on eradicating it. It's very difficult to find because it's not found through a pap smear. Many people think that it is. Many women feel that it is. Basically, it's knowing the symptoms, finding a cyst, and then going through some blood work and things like a CA125 blood test, which can indicate cancer. It might not indicate cancer. So we're not really as close as we would like to be in that area.
So let us talk about your efforts and what you're up to, and they're quite a bit.
Yes. Yes, we're doing quite a lot. We have a race coming up here in September. We're starting to really get organized, and we already have about 100 people signed up for it, which we're very excited about. Every year it gets bigger and bigger. And most of the money, all the proceeds, go to ovarian cancer research. We have been able to sponsor research grants throughout the years, and we are over $1 million in research monies just from primarily from our race efforts. This is the 16th annual race. So I feel like that's not too bad for a small group of women in
that's
the capital region.
That's wonderful. That you should be very proud of
yes.
that. Who is doing the research? What group are you supporting?
We support the Lynn Cohen Foundation. I believe we support a researcher that is at the at Albany Nanotech. And primarily, and some of our money goes down to OCRFA, the Ovarian Cancer Research Foundation in Washington, D.C. So most of it goes directly to research, to funded grants.
A mixed bag as mm-hmm. far as all the good groups who are doing work in this. Tell us about the run. This takes place in Washington Park. And there's still time to get involved in that.
Absolutely. The run is September 10th, so there's plenty of time to sign up to get your team or to get on a team. We have probably 25 to 30 different teams. Everybody shows up wearing teal. Some have their survivors with them. Some are in memory of those that we've lost. And it's just a great, powerful, moving day. It's a 5K run, 1 mile walk. Benita Zahn is our MC and our number one runner, which is great. And we're thankful to the city of Albany for allowing us to continue to have it in Washington Park.
It's wonderful. I'm going back to something you said earlier that I think is interesting, that 1 in 71 women?
I think 72.
1 in 72. So it's rare, but yet I think once you start casting that net of saying, personally, do I know someone in my life who has been affected by this? Mm-hmm. I think you find you know a lot of people.
You do. There's a lot of connection to it. You'll hear, I think my grandmother had ovarian cancer or my mother. It's becoming more and more common. I think back to a time I lived in Philadelphia and I had a good friend there that had ovarian cancer and I thought that could never happen to me. And, you know, 4 or 5 years later, she and I were talking about sharing this disease.
I understand this may be a difficult question to answer, but in those support groups, why are they so important? What is the dynamic that helps when the women sit down to talk with one another about what they're going through?
Well, first, it's the sisterhood of having. Just hearing the word cancer,
right.
It's very traumatic to a person. Our support groups tend to get very technical, though, with the latest chemotherapies and treatments. This is a disease that reoccurs when you are in stage 3 and 4, so we share a lot of medical information and research amongst each other. Some people are just very good in that field, and they share that information. Others are just really good at the inspiration side of it, and they always just have something very profound and wise to say. And it's something, you know, I fortunately am not going through treatment, but I feel that I really need to go to the support group to keep understanding the reason for the mission and to keep pushing forward for people who can't do it on their own.
I thought it was funny when you said that we pretty much all have the same doctor. It is, you know, we're still in a small town.
Yes.
It's a small city. Mm-hmm. So the medical resources, it makes sense that you're going to find a lot of overlap there.
Well, and I do like to point out that women live longer if they are diagnosed and treated by a gynecological oncologist, someone who specializes in these types of cancers, not just a typical oncologist and not your OBGYN. So we do try to get that message out to people if they do feel like they might be at risk to have their surgeries with the gynecological oncologist, which there is one primary practice here in the Capital Region for that, because studies show that they live 25% longer if they're first treated by a gynecological oncologist.
If people want to find out more about what you do, more about the run, more about the support group, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, we have a website, caringtogetherny.org. Our Facebook page is also great. And I think there's a phone number on those websites, which goes to a voicemail, and we'll give you a call back. And our meetings are the second Wednesday of every month at the Hope Club in Latham.
CaringTogetherNY.org. CaringTogetherNY.org. Relevant links will be posted as well, along with this interview, at wamc.org/roundtable. Kelly, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Kelly Cuesta Myers is a survivor and administrative assistant to the board of Caring Together, caringtogetherny.org. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities. See more promise. See more progress.